Boar's Head invites you to enlighten your senses. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. Inspired by Japanese master chefs, our signature teriyaki glaze is crafted with garlic, ginger, and a hint of brown sugar. Then paired with our tender, slow-roasted chicken breast for a flavor that's sweet, savory, remarkably bold. Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Compromise elsewhere.
Greetings, greetings, and welcome. Greetings and welcome to the CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. And a very happy Valentine's Day to each and every one of you. And, of course, a very happy birthday to the doctor herself, Dr. Ev. So, Dr. Ev, I hope you're there with me. And hope you're enjoying your day. Now, it's Valentine's Day, so it's also a day to have some self-love, yes? Remember, loving yourself means that you don't have to apologize for who you are, you know. You are who you are, and no apology is required. So I'm your host, Marjorie Henry Lawrence, MHL. And our topic today, we're looking at a continuation from last week. We were looking at the sort of modern and ancient viewpoints on particular herbs and essential oils. So just to kind of remind the listeners what was happening and so on. Now, last week we looked at the essential oils of basil, fennel, marjoram, and thyme. And we basically looked at the herb and looked at the viewpoint of Culpepper, the great herbalist. And then we took it back to the modern day and we actually looked at the essential oils and see how, you know, the components of the oils were linking into its properties and so on. Now, we discovered that essential oil of basil can be used to alleviate paralysis, epilepsy, insomnia, vertigo, whooping cough, and a loss of smell, to name a few of these wonderful properties. And, I mean, these are really significant conditions, and to know that an essential oil is actually able to address these conditions is very inspiring, and it does give hope, because sometimes when you've tried one method or another, be it orthodox or otherwise, it's always good to know there's something else you can probably try to bring about some kind of healing. Now, with the essential oil of fennel, this can be used to increase the flow of milk, to improve eyesight, and to actually counteract poisons from other herbs and or mushrooms. I mean, again, all these essential oils, they do have quite a number of properties, but it's just good to be able to identify these particular herbs and essential oils by something that is significant to yourself. So that is the essential oil of fennel. Now, in the case of the essential oil of marjoram, we could use that for deafness and, of course, noise in the ears. And I was mentioning the fact that there's a kind of a highlight on the fact that there are people in this country, more than likely worldwide, who are suffering from this ringing sound in the air. Is very, very annoying. And it's just good to know that you could actually use this oil to help to either reduce or stop this constant noise in the air, and even to bring about some relief from deafness as well. But not to forget that the essential oil of marjoram is also an aphrodisiac. So whereas I've always been saying, oh, this oil is an aphrodisiac, that an aphrodisiac would actually, you know, increase sexual vitality and so on, this marjoram, if you're using it for any other condition, maybe your blood pressure or muscular aches and pains, don't be surprised if you're finding out that you're losing the desire to be sexually engaged. But there's always a place for that in life, because, as I said last week, that's what if you're in prison, or if you're newly widowed or recently divorced, or you're single, or maybe, you know, living a life that is religious, you may want to actually dampen those kinds of feelings. So everything has its place in life. Then we had a look at the thyme, and we found that thyme really covers a panacea of things. It's just one of those oils that do this, it does that. It's very, very, very rounded kind of oil. You know, it's a kind of oil you'd actually use to clear away venereal disease on the body, and to address, you know, serious respiratory conditions and so on. So something as simple as a thyme that you probably cook with and on a daily basis, just knowing you're getting these benefits, you know, it's really good to know. So I've been actually linking the discussion about these essential oils, as I said before, to the work of the great herbalist Nicholas Culpepper. So who was Culpepper? That's really important, because this person did quite a bit, and it's good to know who he is. So, well, he was a famous astrologer and physician of the 17th century. And he published numerous unorthodox tracts that were condemned by the contemporary medical standards. And that is of importance to me, because we see nowadays when people are trying to inform each other about other ways of healing apart from just drugs and chemicals and so on, you know, man-made chemicals, that other people come up, people who are actually pushing this sort of more natural agenda, they, you know, can be found to be attacked for doing this. And here was Culpepper, an actual physician who actually chose an unorthodox method of treating his clients, that he was also attacked in that day and age by the so-called contemporary medics. So the contemporary medics, they don't like this competition that they get from the herbalists, the homeopaths, and so on. They just don't like it. So it's not anything new. It's been happening for a long, long time now. So we're going to start by taking a look at dill. Dill as the herb, and then dill as the essential oil, and see what happens. And so with Culpepper, just to see what he says and how he says it. I'm actually fascinated by the language of Culpepper. I'm quite taken up with the old English. It just sounds quite beautiful, almost biblical, really. So I quite like that. So Culpepper discovered that the ordinary dill herb, it actually grows both in gardens and in the wild. And he states that dill and fennel are very, very similar. And fennel is an oil I tend to use quite a bit. It's a really lovely oil as a tea as well. It's quite a nice tea. It has a quite distinctive odor as a tea. But it's a beautiful oil to use and so on. It actually sort of gets rid of those sort of cellulite and things like that. So you were saying that the dill is very similar to the fennel, with the dill being harder to handle, somewhat thicker, and a stronger, unpleasant scent. Some people do find fennel to have a quite a distinctive, maybe slightly unpleasant smell as well, but he's saying that dill is even more unpleasant. And with this particular oil, again, he says mercury has the dominance of this herb, and therefore, for sure, it strengthens the brain. In fact, since ancient times, dill seeds have been associated with magical healing powers. So the ancients really, really revered this particular herb. They found out that the properties could do so much. And as we go through what the properties are and how they work, it will indeed seem quite magical. But of course, you know, it's not just magic, it's also science. So we'll look at that in a minute. And it says here, Culpepper points out that dill, boiled and drank, is good to ease both the swellings and pains. It also stays the belly and stomach from casting. The seed is more used than the leaves and more effectual to digest raw and viscous humors and to expel wind. So here he's talking about the whole digestive process that dill will actually work with. It really sort of helps the brain. And, you know, with this sort of onset, when people getting older, getting Alzheimer's and dementia, even if you've had an accident or even aneurysm or whatever, it's just good to know that there is an oil that actually works with the brain. It's working with the digestive system. It's actually casting out pains and any bad humors from the system and so on. And he's saying that the seed is more potent than the actual leaves. But what I find most impressive about dill, yes, is how Culpepper actually describes this particular property of the dill. He says dill dissolved the posthumes in the fundament and dries up moist ulcers. He says dill also stays the hiccup. Now, ulcers are a tricky one sometimes, especially if you think about ulcers that is actually in a damp area inside the body, at the stomach or something. And I mean, I've known people to have ulcers that last for years and years and years. And it's just so difficult to heal, you know, and very traumatizing, very debilitating. And I wish I'd known about this before, because I have a family member who actually suffers with this, and I think I'm going to have to let that person know they can actually use this particular herb to actually dry up the ulcers that are sort of moist and staying moist for a long time. So, yes, that's the deal. I wonder if Dr. Evie's there with me, the birthday girl. If she
yes,
would come online and have a little chat and share with us any sort of ideas she has about this deal as well. Dr. Eva, are you there with us today?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Thank you.
The birthday girl is hiding away today, the birthday and Valentine's girl.
Wow.
Have you ever used Dale Dr. F?
You know, no, I've never used that at all. But the time, I'm intrigued here as usual, taking down with my pen and paper. I mean, about all of the things that the time is able to do, and we use a lot of time in our food, and I was just thinking it's just a mere seasoning. But just listening to you, I'm just realizing that these herbs that we're using in our kitchen are really medicine, for the most part. Not really seasoning, as we call them, but they are very potent medicine. I think we may just have dropped my sister there for a little bit. Hey, it's CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show for all of you lovers out there. It is Valentine's Day. And, of course, you heard that is also my Earth Strong Day. Thank you for the hundreds and hundreds of pouring out good wishes on my book, on my Facebook. Thank you so much for all the love that you've been showing. I am just so overwhelmed. Thank you so much. Yes, my sister, I was saying before you go, I don't know if you heard me, that we say these are seasoning, but I'm just realizing, just listening to you, that what we say are seasoning are potent herbal.
Definitely.
Taking, and I mean, this have me take a different kind of look on my seasoning, really different kind of look.
Yes, because, you know, it says, you know, our food is our medicine. That's what it is really, isn't it? Our food is really our medicine. So we really have to be careful what we put in our mouths and so on, because it definitely makes a big difference to our lives and to our health. And, you know, it's also said that the stomach is like the second brain, because when you're putting things in your stomach, think about your brain. Would your brain really appreciate this? Would your liver actually like it? It's always, sometimes we're eating what we call mouth eating. Eating just for the taste that we're having in our mouth and stuff like that, but we have to consider on a more deeper level what exactly these things are that we're putting in our bodies. Because if something goes in and the body doesn't recognize it as food, the body is so kind, it will store it as fat. So many times we're eating all these lovely sweet things and, you know, etc., and not realizing that junk food and so on is not recognized by the body as actual food.
The herbs
are so potent, and in the Bible as well, it speaks of the herbs being, you know, so important for healing. And the herbs have a very high vibration, you know. And sometimes that is what you need to actually do, is to basically use those herbs to start the healing process. But Dr. F., are you aware that sometimes when people are sick, they're told not to have fruits?
Yes.
And when I tell people that, they get really kind of upset, especially if they're kind of like a fruitarian. And I say, but when you're not very well and you're trying to heal, what you really need to do is to recognize that the fruit and the fruit sugar, the fructose, can help to slow the process down.
Absolutely.
So what you want to be doing is heading for the herbs and the vegetables and so on. So it's so much out there to learn and to share. And, you know, just going to try and continue now to see what we can actually
What I was thinking, I'm just full joy in my Earth Day, and I slow down a little bit. And since your show, you know, a lot of things that have changed when it comes, my place is just full of oils, and I just have today my lemon oil on as my little fragrance of smell. And what I just realized is that when we have our Earth Day and we have this special occasion, and we said we are treating ourselves, just slow down, folks, and really realize what you're doing. This special occasion, this milestone, and you're treating yourself for the 90% of the time, 99% of us, to poison ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
get out there, and everything that we take as treating ourselves is literally poison for this particular special occasion. Isn't that kind of a backward though? Isn't that backward?
No. When I say that, we should never have a treat or whatever, because, you know.
But what is a treat? Why would you know that something is poisonous and you take that as a treat? Why don't you say, I'm going to, I've passed my bar exam today, or today is my big, big anniversary, and I'm so glad to have crossed that milestone. Let me go and take some poison and really celebrate with some poison.
Okay, yes, I know. We're so trained in doing
saying?
That as well, and
so
on.
Yeah, but that's what you say, when you say, oh, it's okay to take a little treat once in a while, that's what you're really telling me, though. Go take a little poison.
I know, and I think if we're eating healthily all the time, the body's not like a fighting fit state. It can actually, you know, push these things back out fairly easily. The problem we're having is that now we're living in a time when we're dealing with these sort of GMO foods, you know, genetically modified organisms and so on. And the body's overloaded with, you know, external pollutants and so on. The soil is devitalized. So we're not eating the best quality food anyways. And then we're dealing with all this industrialized pollution. We're really under attack, and then to have a little sweet treat is just like adding salt to the wound, really. But when we're younger, having these things, and, you know, when it was a different time when the food was really food, those things didn't really harm us. We ate it, we enjoyed it, we didn't do it too often, it was fine. So I guess we have to redefine and really look at what we're living in now, you know?
Yes.
Yes, so important,
and
so important. But
I'm so very happy, though, that in lieu of cakes and all of those stuff, we have the fruit we have here. I don't know if it's in the UK. There is a, I forgot what you call it now, but you can get a fruit cake with just fruits. You get just fruits. And you can get a fruit bouquet. Rather than flowers, they do the bouquet with fruits. So, I mean, that is saying that somebody's really thinking in the direction of health.
Right. I mean, we can still go out and eat and enjoy our vegetables and, you know, organic meats and so on. And as you said, probably just have, instead of having ice cream that is made from cow's milk or something, maybe go for something that is far more nutritious, maybe a yogurt-based type of dessert with fruit or whatever in it that's more healthy and so on. So I think it comes with awareness and constant awareness, and by actually listening and talking and sharing, we're able to sort of reprogram the mind, because it does take time to change one's behavior. If you have a particular set way of behaving, it takes a few weeks, 21 days or more to change that behavior. So hopefully what we're doing here today by sharing, we're helping each other to kind of like just become more conscious each time, each and every time, you know? So really, really important, so critical. But this is why, Dr. Eve, I actually like to do the research on these things, because whereas I always tend to use certain oils like the fennel and so on, I've never actually used dill. And dill is not very expensive, one of the more sort of affordable oils. So therefore, it's something I need to go out and try for myself. And sometimes you find as well, the more popular oils, you're using them and you're getting some results, but there are some particular health challenges you might particularly have that's just not shifting. And then you go for something different from what you always use. Just take a switch to something like dill, and suddenly you get a breakthrough, you know, health-wise. So this is why it's so critical and so important to be able to look at the different oils, see what they're doing, and see how we can actually help ourselves and help each other. So, so very important. Now, just want to actually, you know, just want to see exactly why the ancients found this dill so magical. Why was it so, you know, so fascinating to them? So what happens is that we can look at the essential oil of dill and see what's going on here. So dill is derived from by steam distillation, and they distill the dried seeds as well as the entire plant is actually distilled. And the basic components of dill are carvone, dillopinol, eugenol, limonene, terpenine and myristicine. And from these components, you then get the properties. And one of the first ones we're going to look at is the property which is antispasmodic. So dill is an antispasmodic. And what they will do is actually have this relaxing effect on the muscles. It will relax your nerves as well, your intestines, your respiratory system. It will quickly, very quickly pacify the spasmodic sort of attacks and bring this sort of really well-calmed relief. And you might think to yourself, but it's just a spasm. Why is a spasm so important, you know? But to be honest, a spasm can be quite fatal. If you can imagine somebody coughing nonstop, that's not a good way to actually be, you know. It's very irritating. So if you have the spasm, it can really irritate. It can be really fatal as well. And, you know, if you have spasms, you can have this sort of unwanted contractions, maybe in the abdomen, even in the respiratory tract, the muscles, the intestines, even the nerves as well. So we don't want to be having a condition where we're living with this constant spasm and so on. And in the spasms themselves can also cause things like, as I said, non-stop coughing, non-stop hiccups. I mean, some people have hiccups and it lasts not just a few minutes. It lasts for days and even years. Can you imagine living like that? Mm. Cramps, muscle pulls, convulsions, or even an epileptic attack. And I saw a friend recently who actually had a hiccup 2 days prior and was still having this hiccup and going on. And I said to him, I didn't know about the deal at the time, but I actually knew there was a method that I could use to stop the hiccup. So I said to him, if you have a hiccup, what you need to do is to really try to shock the diaphragm back into place. So I said to him, go up the air quickly, hold it for a long time, blow it out hard. And by doing that a few times, the sharp intake quickly, holding it as long as possible, but not too long, and blowing out hard, you find that will shock the diaphragm back into place and will begin to relieve the hiccups. And I watched him do it for a while, and it actually worked. By the time he walked off and left the library, it had stopped. And 2 days before, he was just going on and on and on. He was just so frustrated. So, but it's nice to know that there's a deal as well, because if it's happening to somebody who is too young to do that, or too old or too weak, the deal can actually help with that. Now, I'm particularly interested in the epileptic attacks that deal can help with. And I remember in primary school, somebody actually had that attack. And it's quite difficult when you're looking on, isn't it, Dr. F?
Yes.
To see somebody
scary.
Having that kind of seizure. It's really shocking. And you don't know what to do. You're told not to touch them. You're told to hold them. You're told so many different things, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever know that. I think at the time, actually, I saw them actually whip off the person's shoe
and put it
over the face.
Absolutely.
Do you know about that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they pull their breath in. It is when I was in Ecuador, just going to Ecuador also, because of the height, the sea level, and we're below sea level, you just fall on the street like fly. You just see people who just come into the country fall on the street like fly, literally, because the air is so thin and you can't breathe it. And when you fall, they just grab you. They're just so good at doing this. They just grab you, grab your shoes off and just throw it on there. So you get to that stench.
It's a stench, isn't it? That stench that shocks the body back into
that shocks your body back into it. But in Jamaica,
right. And a new technique I've learned as well is, you know, just between your thumb and your index finger, that sort of fleshy bit. Mm-hmm. If somebody's convulsing and shaking, if you quickly press that fleshy bit very hard and very sharp, it will shock the body back into place and send the signal back to the brain. And cause the seizure to kind of like stop, the shaking and stuff to stop.
I did not know that.
Really? I just want to as I'm doing the research on different things, I'm listening to different things, and that was something that I found out recently that, you know, so you get people that are shaking and convulsing because it's like the electrical pathway between the brain and the body is interrupted. And by that fleshy bit between the thumb and the index, if you press in it suddenly and very sharp and quite painfully, and you shock it back into place.
Just like giving it almost an uppercut chop in the in between.
You're using the thumb and the index from the other hand.
Yes.
Just press in quite sharp, like a pinch, like a sharp pinch. And that will actually work as well.
Also with the convulsion, what we used to do, because when they're convulsing and getting this epileptic seizure, they will chew and eat their tongue because you're chopping up and you're chopping. And it's good too if you have a spoon or something to stick in the mouth between the upper and the lower teeth area. That will prevent them from eating because you literally can chew up your tongue.
Isn't it? I think the advice I give here now is that if somebody's having that kind of shock, you're not supposed to touch them. But I don't know if that's really the best thing to do. And it's so confusing. They keep changing what you should and what you shouldn't do, and it's all very, very confusing. So this dill, this fabulous dill, is also a disinfectant, Dr. Ev. It kills the microbes that cause food to spoil.
Uh-huh.
And when consumed, they will actually eliminate microbial infection in the colon, in the colon tract, in the kidneys, and even the genitals as well. So you can also apply this diluted essential oil of dill on the skin to protect the skin and wounds from infections, and it also helps wounds to heal quickly. It can also be applied to the scalp to protect the hair from various infections and even lice. Now, when you come on to lice, that's something else that made my skin just crawl. And over here, I think I was in Jamaica. I never really saw much lice or heard of much lice in Jamaica. You had the odd person, but very, very long hair that would probably get it and so on. But over here, I mean, it's just crazy. And being in the classroom as well, you think to yourself, oh, dear God. But I tell you what, apparently lice doesn't like to live in your hair if your hair is quite oily.
Absolutely.
You can't really grasp onto the hair and the scalp because the hair is the scalp is quite oily.
Yes.
And we as Jamaican people, your hair get washed on the weekend.
I'm oily.
And here comes the hair oil all over the scalp, all over the hair. And we continue that tradition when we come to these countries to still continue to moisturize our hair even more so because the air is so dry. I know where you are, probably you have soft water like Jamaica, but over here it's very, very hard water. So even more so, you tend to want to use the oils on your hair to protect it from breaking and so on. And I even remember a lecturer was saying to me when she goes to the class, she always put her hair up in a bun. I said, why are you doing that? And, she goes, no, if her hair comes down and touches somebody's head and they have lice, she'll get it straight away. So, when she was out of the class, she wore her hair all the way down to her back. But once she got in the class, it was all wrapped up. She wasn't taking any chances, taking no prisoners, So, yes, and I remember that when my son was here as a baby, and apparently they said lice is going around. And my son had really thick, long hair. And I used to always use essential oils on him, like mandarin and so on. I put in his hair, his skin, everything. But I was still worried that he would get lice and have to shave his head, But he never got it, despite the,
But most of our hair, the lice don't really linger on the kind of more African hair. It's more in the straighter hair that they...
Notice that I realize, but it doesn't mean that we can't get it. But I realize also...
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
The fact that we always tend to moisturize the hair, the lice doesn't like the moisture.
Absolutely.
That helps repel it as well. So sometimes I know, people that have European hair, they wash their hair and they don't moisturize their hair. So the scalp is quite crisp and sharp. So it's easy for the lice to jump on and stick in.
Mm-hmm.
Very opportunistic. And people tend to think lice is linked to dirty hair, but that's not true.
No.
It likes clean hair. And clean hair that is not oily. So maybe if they were to use more oil in their hair, they wouldn't have that problem so much. But just saying. So the dill is good for things like that. Dill is also what's called a vulnerary. So what that means is that it actually promotes quick healing of wounds, either external or internal wounds. and protecting them from infections. So, you know, again, with the ulcers and those kind of things on the inside that are kind of like, you know, moist and so on, dill is good for healing things like that. And, you know, people suffer from like bed sores. That's another problem, isn't it? Yeah, that's another problem and so on. So the dill, again, you know, you could apply it around. And for those who are new to aromatherapy, it's always important to dilute the essential oils in a good quality base oil. Preferably one that is cold pressed and unrefined. Do stay away from the canola oils and the rapeseed oils. Even some of the olive oils nowadays are not even true olive oils. You know? Just be careful with that. So you're going to go for the coconut oil, the avocado oils, and make sure it's cold pressed and unrefined. Then you'll probably be, you know, much safer with that concept. So, yeah, so and that's what dill can do there in terms of, you know, helping with bed sores and ulcers, helping it to heal and just applying it around the area. Sometimes you can't put these oils directly on something. You put it around it, and the oil would actually target what needs to be targeted. It's very intelligent. And whereas the herbs are strong and important and powerful, the essential oils are very, very concentrated. So they need to be treated with respect, you know. I like to call them little gods in a bottle. So this is also good for constipation and would help to alleviate colic as well. Now, it is actually a galactagogue, which just like the fennel, it will actually increase the formation of milk in the breast. That is so, so important. And it will not only increase the quantity, it will also increase the quality of the breast milk, you know. And, yes, it's so good for that, just like the fennel. And, you know, there's so many young mothers or mothers that are nursing who sometimes really struggle with breastfeeding. And the baby so needs that first flow, the colostrum, isn't it?
Yes.
That colostrum is full of the probiotics that go into the baby's gut and furnish and occupy the baby's intestines. This is why babies that are breastfed and get that first milk are less likely to have allergies when they're old and all those kind of things. So, you know, some mothers, they really do struggle, they feel guilty, et cetera, so much pain. This is a wonderful herb that you can use to bring that flow of milk and increase the quality of the milk. And the good thing is, because dill is actually good for colic, so when the mom is actually breastfeeding and if she uses dill on her body, then the baby will get the benefits of the dill as well. So, and breastfed babies can sometimes tend to be a bit more colicky than the one that are bottle fed, you know, a bit more flatulence and colic. And therefore, if the mothers are using the dill, they'll get that through the breast milk, and that will help with the colic and so on as well. But I find sometimes, Dr. Elb, when I observe some mothers burping their babies, I'm just thinking, what are they doing? A little pat, pat, pat on the back. I just think that can't move anything.
Put a little pressure on your arm and do a clockwise thing, not tap the baby's back.
I said, hold on, let me have that baby 1 second. But that baby, look, it has wind or something, all wriggly. I said, look at me now. I said, take the baby, hold it, put the baby's tummy right in your shoulder, just kind of like pressure on the shoulder, and then pat it properly. And the baby was burping. I said, that's all the wind that's trapped for how many days and weeks. I said, the baby, hurting the baby, you know?
And when the baby gets a little bit annoyed, you know that is the wind that is trapped.
Oh, just cries. I mean, the thing is, wind is very painful.
Very.
It sticks on your nerves and cuts into you. It can really, really hurt. And the poor little baby is just... And when you pat the baby's back quite strongly, the baby actually loves it because it's very soothing.
It
does. Hands out, you know, and this little... As we pat, 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 they could rub. I'm thinking, that can't move anything. You know, so it's good to know that the deal is there. And I think it wouldn't be unwise to probably put probably a little one drop of dill in some oil and massage your baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've used this
What we used to do when we find that the baby, and we know when the baby is fussy because of gas, we get a little warm coconut oil, warm it, above room temperature, that it won't really scorch the skin. And then at the navel, we do a clockwise massage.
Massage. Yes, I had to once do that for my friend's baby. Got to Jamaica and the baby was in the hospital, can't even breathe, couldn't breathe, and then I had to nebulize her, took her home back to the mom's place, and I said, "Leave it, needs a massage." So I did what's called a boil flush, on the, about two, did a boil flush on her. We actually drain the colon going down first,
right
across. And I did it quite a few times with the arm. Just a base oil, round and round, in a clockwise direction. Let me tell you something. What that child passed was bigger than her head. Bigger and blacker than her head. It was unbelievable. But so these things are really important. There's a massage is so important, This touch for health, the health in your hands is so very, very important that people actually do this. But just to remind the listeners, you can call in on 661-467-2407, and you're listening to the CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, and you're listening to Dr. Ev and Marjorie Henry Lawrence today. We're talking about the oils, the ancient view of the oils via Culpeper, and the modern day look at it as well. We're looking at dill at the moment, this magical oil. Now, dill is also what you call a stomatic, so it keeps the stomach healthy. And it also regulates the secretion of digestive juice and bile in it. It keeps it safe from infections. It helps to heal ulcers or wounds therein. Dill is also a carminative. So in doing so, it also helps to remove gas from the intestines. And it will stop more gas from forming and lead to its downward expulsion, You know, sometimes we can't eat properly because of this gas. I spoke about gas lifting somebody's heart, didn't I, one week? Lifting the heart and mimicking a heart attack. So it's not something to play with, this gas. It's so important to move it along. Dill is also a sudorific. So a sudorific will actually make you sweat. You've been about sweating, and with that sweating, you're actually removing any excess salt. It also sort of, remove any excess water or toxins. So people don't like to sweat, but sweat is really a normal bodily reaction. If you're sweating abnormally, then that's not good. But I do wonder about people that don't really show any sort of visible sweating. But we all sweat anyway because there's always the invisible and the visible sweat. But a good sweat where you can actually have to wipe your face is good. It's very healing. It's very detoxifying, and just remove that sort of excess burden of the body as well. Being a sudorific as well is also, can actually reduce the blood pressure and reduce swelling and protect the overall health of the skin. It's a sedative. This is also a sedative. And the sedative action of dill on the nerves and the brain is profound. Again, the brain. We need to protect our brain because we need our brain for a long time. Don't be getting up into age. The body is fit and strong, but the brain is gone. That's not good. So it protects the brain. It would make a person feel relaxed, free from anxiety and tension, even anger and depression. We brought down and bring down that high blood pressure, due to hypertension, and it would promote a good night's sleep. So it's not just lavender that's doing the sleep thing here. Dill will also help a good night's sleep.
Wow.
There's a word of warning, a precaution when using dill. So dill is appropriate if you're a nursing mother, but if you're pregnant, you're not supposed to use it. So, with some of these oils, you get these precautions and so on. So that's just a precaution for dill, actually. So there's no doubt as to why dill was seen as a magical herb, Just a few properties, but they're so important, aren't they? So poignant, so very, very fundamental. So we still have some time. We're, 15 minutes or so. Doctor, what's coming up next? the show, after the show. What's coming up next time?
A wonderful The Midnight Hour, Burr Blue. He's going to be, he was going to be coming up, but I just got a message this second that he's having some technical problem at his location. So probably I'll sit in for him. So you get a little chance to chat a little bit there with some great music coming up on the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay, well, we'll see how he gets on. If he gets get it sorted, maybe he'll come and join us or get his show going. So, yes, looking at Hyssop now. Now, Hyssop is known as Hyssopus officinalis, and anything that says officinalis is really usually quite important. And it comes from the labiate family, and the Hebrews called it Izob. I hope I said it correctly, Izob, from which the name Hyssop is derived, and they're holding it quite sacred, this Hyssop.
Wow.
Hippocrates used it, this sort of herb to treat pleurisy. Now, the principal constituents of hyssop are hyssopine, saponine, silica, potassium nitrate, tannin, calandrine, pinocamphine, thujone, limonene, and geraniol. And, you know, I want to actually spend some time looking at these particular constituents another time. You know, I want to actually explore these actual properties, because these are so important to understand and what they actually mean, what they actually do, and so on. So I'm going to actually try and create a show for that. Now, because the hyssop has this thing called pinocanfone, it can actually cause epilepsy. It can trigger epilepsy. So people that are actually prone to epilepsy should either use it in very small quantities or just completely avoid it. And this is why it's so important to know what the constituents are, because when you can see the constituents, you can say, oh, that's so-and-so, that's not for me, or whatever. Now, let us find out what Culpepper has to say about hyssop. He said that hyssop strengthens all parts of the body under the planetary influence of Jupiter and Cancer. And again, I'm just so fascinated by this planetary influence on the body. That's a whole other area to explore at some point, you know. And so hyssop is good for coughs, shortness of breath, wheezing, and rheumatic distillations upon the lungs. When you take it with something called Oxymel, it purges gross humors from by stool. Taken with honey, it kills worms in the body. Mm. It amends and cherishes the native color of the body, spoiled by yellow jaundice. If you boil it with wine, it will heal inflammations and take away the blue and black marks that comes by strokes, bruises, or falls if applied with warm water. It is excellent for swelling in the throat, to wash or gargle. So you wash or gargle with it, it's really good for that swelling in the throat. The head anointed, it kills lice and takes away the itching. It expectorates tough phlegm and is effective in all cold griefs or disease of the chest and lungs when taken in a syrup. And it goes on and on and on about hyssop, because, of course, it's officinalis, you know, like Rosmarinus officinalis, as that's rosemary, and it just goes on and on and on. I'm quite interested in this thing about the swelling in the throat, because I had an experience with that last year after a dental treatment. And I've had to have tests done on my throat and tests for allergies and so on, and nothing came up. Like, you're not allergic to anything. Well, maybe I'm allergic to work or something, I don't know. Maybe, obvious, maybe I am, I don't know. But it's quite frustrating when you go for tests and nothing comes up, really, you know?
Sure.
So I'm doing the research for this. I think, wow, this is fantastic. Here's something I can actually use to address this on and off feeling of my throat feeling a bit swollen, you know. And it's just really good to kind of encourage people to go out and try these oils, to explore them. And in fact, just to remind people that if you're interested in buying these oils, you can go on my on the website and pick up these oils via the web link, which is uk.nyrorganic.com/shop/Marjorie Henry-Lauren. So, yes, go there and get your oils there, or go to a very good quality kind of health food store and get some good quality oils, and do try that. So, so very important. But, again, with hyssop, have you tried hyssop, Dr. Ev? Tried the hyssop? You've heard of it?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Talk to us about the hyssop and what does it look like?
Okay, I have to see if I can find the exact description, but I don't have it on me right now. But let us see, because let's see if Culpepper is at hand. I don't know. I'll see in a minute. But I could find out for next week if I need to find out for you next week exactly the actual description. Do you think you know it?
No.
Is that why you're asking? You think maybe you'd recognize it?
I hear the name, so I'm sure I know it, but maybe by a different...
A different name. Okay, that's interesting, because I haven't used hyssop either, and I think, well, there's no doubt in my mind I'm definitely going to be using it, because it's, you know, for my throat and so on. Let's see how I get on. But I'm going to try so I can actually locate the description for you. So give me 1 second here. This is why it's so good to see. So what do you think it would be good for? I mean, it says it brings back all these things, the color to the face. Have you ever cooked with it? You think maybe cooked with it, or just you've seen it growing in the wild or something?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I would have to remember. I can't remember too much.
I found it for you, Doctor. It says here it's a common hyssop. It grows about a foot high. It has many stalks, which are square at first, but grow round as they come to flower. The leaves are long, narrow, and sharp-pointed, and it's set in two at a joint. The flowers grow in long spikes made in thin whorls. It has, like, blue leaves, large blue leaves disposed on one side of the stalk.
It's a complex-sounding
kind of plant, isn't it?
Yes.
It has a labia divided into four segments. The seeds are black, growing four together in the arm calyx. The root is thick, woody, and much divided.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole plant has a pretty strong aromatic smell.
Wow.
That's something else I want to try and get into as well, because being able to actually recognize herbs when you see them, you know, and so on, because sometimes we live in the city and you grow up in the city, you kind of lose touch with what is out there, you know, and we should be able to actually say, oh, that herb is that is edible, that is not, but most of us can't really do that, you know, and I think we'll probably all need to, including myself, of course, need to learn to do that and so on for our own health and our own well-being. On the modern day take of, yes, definitely. So on the modern day take of hyssop, when we don't actually want to use something internally, we can then turn to the essential oils and use it externally in a massage or a bath or, you know, in a steam or something. Now, hyssop is said to be an expectorant, again, to help with the asthma. So you see the link with the old and the new at some point. It will help asthma, it will help with hay fever, if you have difficulty in breathing, chronic bronchitis, cough, and influenza. It's said to have anti-cancer properties as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it where it's kind of like malignant conditions. It's a vermifuge, so it will actually rid the body of intestinal parasites. And other properties, it's also similar to dill. It's a sudorific, which means, again, that it will, you know, induce that sweating, and the sweating, of course, will help to remove the excess salt, the excess toxins, bring down the pressures, et cetera, et cetera. It's a stomachic, so it's good for the stomach and good for the digestive system, antiseptic. It will kill the microbes just like the dill. It's an hypertensive, so it will help to normalize the blood pressure. Use it for eczema, cancerous growth, wounds, bruises, scanty periods, eruptive fevers, rheumatism, loss of appetite, dermatosis, and this one, Dr. Ebb, tuberculosis.
Wow.
Tuberculosis has been mentioned in the news quite a bit nowadays. It's making a little comeback, you know, and that's not really good. We don't want that around at all, this tuberculosis, because sometimes with the overuse of antibiotics over these years, we're not even quite sure if they can tackle it.
Well, of course, we know that the overuse of the antibiotic make antibiotic almost totally of no use, the majority
yes.
of us. So,
And this is why now we really have to go back to nature, you know, back to nature, back to God, back to nature, because these things, these herbs and stuff, they're holistic. They have all the things in them, all the properties, all the constituents in them in this right format that we can access. And that's a good thing. But the only thing is that if they're making the soil devitalized, they're dropping chemtrails on the soil and poisoning the soil, they're changing the structure of these plants as well. So we really need to start growing our own plants, you know, and sort of maybe protesting and saying enough is enough. We don't want you to poison our soil. And to poison us anymore, you know? We don't want things that are modified genetically anymore because it's not good for our bodies. It makes us very sick. And this is how they make their money. You know, you go to the doctor and they don't make you completely well. They make you just keep you alive and take it so you keep coming back to buy your drugs and so on. That's not acceptable. We want to be, our default mode should be health. We want to be healthy, you know? It's not just a case of, oh, you have, you know, your genetics basically determine how you're going to be. They don't have to express. You may have the gene for asthma, but it doesn't have to be expressed. You know, with correct diet and lifestyle and nutrients and so on, that it can just stay as you have the gene, etc. So basically, you know, it's good to know that we have this hyssop that can actually counteract this tuberculosis because we need some stuff like this around to keep us healthy. Yes, definitely. I know the time is going, Dr. Ev, and we have just about 4 minutes left and whatever. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually continue next week with looking at myrrh and chamomile and looking again at what Culpeper is saying and comparing to the modern-day sort of use with it and see how they interlink and how they overlap and so on. So, yes, definitely. So, Dr. Ev, anything to say towards the end of the show?
Well, one thing I can
and,
say...
You know, I just love having you on the show, so, you know... You always have to disappear and run away from us, but we just love having this discussion. It's so much more fun, I think, sometimes, you know.
Oh, wow, wow. But let me tell you something. When I'm not on, I'm here with my book, and I'm taking in every single word that you say. And we are so, so, so grateful for this, I mean, the herbs and stuff that you are really taking to the classroom. I call this big global
yes.
classroom. And
yes,
we thank
yes.
you so much. There's so much. I get, right now I'm on to the nutmeg and of course, my cinnamon. I mean, my food is packed.
I think we're sure you're going to have more oil than I do, Doctor. You're going to have every single oil.
I am.
You know, I'm going to have to come and see you for the oil. You're going to have more than me.
Hey, you turned me on to this. You've been doing a great thing. And of course, for those folks listening in, I'm tending to have, because of, and I don't know where this get on, and I know you just have a couple of minutes, the lemon juice for me is helping me so much. A big, nice glass of concentrated lemon juice just cut my blood sugar down like, I mean, it just absolutely amazing. I have my apple cider vinegar that I do in the morning too as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just lay off of that little bit. Now I'm just doing a lot of my lemon juice, nice concentrated fresh lemon juice or lime juice. And
Well, Dr. Evie, you're right, because lemon is actually one of the big healers, you know.
Absolutely.
There's some top healers and lemon is right up there.
Yeah, my mother
so
never been out of a lemon at all. She always have a lime in her bag, a green lime, which is say, which is good for a lot of things to cast off.
I tell you what, I don't buy lemons. I tend to buy lime because I'm from Jamaica. I'm used to limes, and I think I feel that the limes are more potent than the lemon. But there are some people prefer lemon to lime and so on. But it's the same family. They're very very close. I just see the limes taste just a little bit nicer.
Uh-huh. The citric, it has a little bit more. The citric acid is, although the lime has a more aroma, the lemon has a little bit more aroma to it, and more,
yeah.
Some, you know, it has a little different, but I prefer my lime.
And yeah, me too. Me definitely.
Even
the lime oil. If you try the lime oil, you try the lemon oil, you know. The lime is just kicking. It's just sharp and fresh and it's just right out there, you know. So,
and that's
and
my
again,
deodorant.
A very affordable oil to buy, not too expensive. So good
and that's
to use.
That's my deodorant too. My lime. That's the only deodorant I use.
You
fresh
lime. You can mix that lime with coconut oil, you know. And that make it a nice, so it doesn't burn you. If it's too sharp, you can mix it with the coconut oil, so it just goes on nice under the arms and everything.
I do. That's what I do. Amazing.
Very fragrant, very refreshing, very healing. So beautiful, you know, definitely. But, yes, it's been so nice talking to you, Dr. Eve, and I keep telling you, don't be a stranger, you know. This is your domain, and I'm sharing in it, and I'm humbled and honored to be here with you. As often as I can, I try to be here each and every week. When I'm not, I do miss it, but I'm just loving it. I so appreciate the opportunity you've given to me, and I just love sharing this information with the audience and with you as well.
Wow! Thank you. Glad
and a very happy birthday again. You know, go
Thank
back
you.
And enjoy yourself. Or no, you're gonna be working. You'll be working in
I'm
Blue
be
Slot, aren't you? You're covering for Bro Blue. So, yes, you're gonna be working on your birthday. So do enjoy that, and just thanks to the listeners for listening. And I'll be back next week. Thank you so much.
Record better audio anywhere with Motive Digital Microphones from Shure. Easy-to-use options like the MV88 plug directly into your phone or computer and include a free app. Create studio-quality sound for podcasts, music, and videos. Visit Shure.com to learn more.
Boar's Head invites you to enlighten your senses. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki-Style Chicken. Inspired by Japanese master chefs, our signature teriyaki glaze is crafted with garlic, ginger, and a hint of brown sugar. Then paired with our tender, slow-roasted chicken breast for a flavor that's sweet, savory, remarkably bold. Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki-Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Compromise elsewhere.